Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the iSports MSU Red Cedar Report. The Red Cedar Report is part of iSportsWeb.com. Be sure to check out that website for the latest sports news and opinions. You can like our show on Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter at Red Cedar Report. That way you have easy access to all of our past shows. For instance, Monday we had former defensive tackle Kyle Rasmussen. He talked about the rivalry with Michigan, some of the struggles with the defensive line, and Malik McDowell's play thus far. Yesterday, former fullback Trevin Pendleton, one of personally my favorite Spartans of all time, tough-as-nails kid, who, frankly, I still think he scored that touchdown against Michigan last year. He came on and he talked about the lack of leadership and the experience that this team has. Today, Ryan McCumber is with me, and I know that that guest doesn't exactly, you know, live up to the hype, so to speak, of the other two, but we are going to talk about the most important part of the Michigan game that it is every year. Former offensive lineman Will Whitaker will be on. He's going to help us out with that as well. Ryan, let's get started with the fact that, look, up front has been an issue for Michigan State all season long, really. Maryland, it looks like things started turning around. They were opening up holes for MSU's elite group of backs. Like, we know how good these backs are if they get a little bit of blocking in front of them. And it started to open things up against Maryland. I think you could say that was the one positive that you can really take away from that game, other than the play of Joe Bocci and Kari Willis. Can Michigan State keep this up, or is this pos a product of the fact that they played a team that was the 10th best rush defense in the Big Ten, and maybe they're just, I mean, DJ Durkin's a great defensive coordinator. He obviously puts a lot of emphasis on what happens in the front seven, but is this maybe a trend for Michigan State? Are they finally starting to gel since there are so many new pieces? Or is that perhaps just a flash in the pan against a bad rush defense?
I'm leaning towards flash in the pan, but at the same time, there's a lot of young guys who are playing now that I thought looked decent. I thought Tyler Higbee looked pretty good. Theo Lacuzzo, when he was in, looked pretty good. I don't know if I'd call it a flash in the pan, but at the same time, I don't know if this is something that can stick the rest of the year. I mean, they've got the backs, but this offensive line has not been good this whole entire year, and I just think it might be too late.
Yeah, and I mean, you look at it. I mean, the sack number was pretty low for Maryland, and I thought that would be. I thought that would be kind of high given the fact that Maryland was able to get to the quarterback quite a bit last year. And I'm not just talking about the Connor Cook injury. I mean, they brought it. And I figured DJ Durkin would be a little more aggressive than that. I don't know if that's credit to Brian Lewerke and his mobility, because I do feel like sometimes he does tuck and run a little too soon. You know, he'll go through his first two options, maybe won't go to the third. Instead, he'll pull the ball down and run. And I mean, it's understandable. He is just a freshman playing against Big Ten defenses. And so you do kind of understand where he's coming from. But yeah, like you said, you have a Viola Lacuzzo. He's played all right. I think Tyler Higbee's been the best offensive lineman that Michigan State has thus far. Maybe you could make a case for Benny McGowan. Maybe. I think Brian Allen, Cody Keeler, and Miguel Machado kind of played their way out of that conversation. The guy who started at left tackle during the start of the season, David Beadle, he played his way out of the playing rotation. So I think that says that he didn't really live up to the expectations. And so I think partially right in the fact that it is just a flash in the pan, and the fact that these younger guys are able to push around that defense. I think these guys are obviously they've got 4 years left here. They will get better. It will look all right. But I don't know if they can necessarily hold up against an elite defense. I'm trying to think of a really good example. Oh, the one they play this weekend in U of M. I mean, you look at the history of the series, and I don't even know what the numbers are anymore regarding the rushing totals. I think it's 36 of the last 42, maybe. The 36 of the last 42 teams that won led the game in rushing yards. Again, I'm not 100% sure on those totals. You look at the history of the series, and that's been one point that's really been driven home. You said that, I mean, you kind of echoed my sentiment, or I echoed yours since you went from, but the younger guys are a bit of an improvement over some of those veterans. Can they hold their own against Michigan?
No. No.
Simply put.
There's no way that, I mean, it's just the youth on that line. I just don't see them being able to hold up against, you know, they're going to bring as much pressure as they can, especially if Lewerke's starting, which I would assume he is. Because obviously he's only a redshirt freshman and he doesn't really have, I mean, like you said, he goes through his first and second progressions and then he tucks and runs because he doesn't know the whole playbook. Connor Cook said that he didn't have the entire playbook down until his third year, which was his redshirt sophomore year. And it's pretty clear to me that Lewerke doesn't have it down either yet.
Yeah. And I think that was one of the things now that you, that you really bring that up is, obviously, Lewerke's more mobile than, I mean, I don't know how far back he would go. Maybe Drew Stanton? More mobile than anybody going back to the Drew Stanton days that Michigan State's really had under center. And so you see a lot more quarterback running type situations, which, again, he's more mobile than Connor Cook. But when Connor Cook came in, he was considered the mobile guy, and they ran a lot of that read option type stuff. They ran a lot of those option plays. I mean, obviously, that is a part of their playbook, that one that's only been opened up to, like, page 6 or whatever this year, up until late in the Northwestern game. But it was the same type of thing. They ran those plays a lot more with Connor Cook than they did Andrew Maxwell. And now they're running them a lot more with Brian Lewerke than they were doing with Tyler O'Connor. And O'Connor can run. O'Connor's more mobile than Connor Cook is. And so I think you can really tell that they are kind of shortening Brian Lewerke far as what you're going to allow him to do just because he doesn't have the whole playbook down.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, like you said, Connor Cook won the job in 2013 because he was the more mobile guy. I mean, obviously, people have talked about Damian Terry's mobility, but he gets hurt. He gets hurt a lot, and he just doesn't seem like he's panned out. But Lewerke, I think, like you've said before, I think he's got the best arm out of any quarterback they've had under D'Antonio. And I think he probably has the most potential out of any quarterback. That's saying a lot considering they've had Connor Cook and Kirk Cousins here, but I think that he's got a very, very high ceiling.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think you're absolutely right there, but as important as protecting the quarterback is, like we said, running the ball is going to be the key when you look at this weekend's game. If Michigan State can run the ball, because, okay, here's the thing. Michigan's offense, they're not Baylor-esque. They're not even Indiana-esque. excuse me. And so, but at the same time, they have guys who can make plays. You look at the running back situation. I think top to bottom, maybe they have the best stable of backs in the Big Ten. We said Michigan State at the beginning of the year. I think Shannon Brook and Rodney Smith at Minnesota are incredible. I don't know exactly what all is behind that, but and ultimately, I think if you put Michigan State's backs behind U of M's line as opposed to their own, I think people would just be completely awed at what L.J. Scott, Gerald Holmes, and Madre London can do. But right
now,
Michigan's got the best stable of backs in the Big Ten. They've got guys who can make plays downfield and Darbone Chessman. Jake Butt, obviously as reliable as they come, hasn't had his best game against Michigan State. But, I mean, that's who's to say that's not going to happen this year. So it's not a high-octane offense. They run even more power football than Wisconsin. They have the weapons. So Michigan State still needs to focus on running the ball on their end and keeping the ball out of that offense's hands. They're not going to score 54, all right? They're not going to be like Northwestern and score 54 points, all right? But if you give them enough opportunities, the potential is there to burn you a couple times deep.
Yeah, I agree with that. Like you said, Michigan does have the best stable running backs right now. I think a lot of that's obviously due to the line they have. But, yeah, Michigan State needs to keep the ball out of U of M's hands. And the biggest – because I think that if they can get some pressure, which they have not all year on Bolton Spate, they can force him to make some mistakes. But – obviously, they haven't been able to do that all year, so I don't see that happening. But Michigan State has to open up holes in the run game and hope that maybe Brian Lewerke can make a play downfield with R.J. Shelton or Donnie Corley. I'd like to see them open it up with some tight end plays with the tight ends. You saw a little bit of that last week. But, yeah, keeping the ball, you've got to have long, sustainable drives, keep the ball out of Michigan's hands as much as possible. And I think that's the only way Michigan State can win, is if they can pound the ball and keep their offense on the field as much as possible. That's the only way they're going to win this game.
Yeah, and I think that was ultimately the reason why they won. I mean, you can – you go back to last year, obviously everybody knows the play. The Rangers, Mission 410, Jalen Watts, breaking the hearts everywhere. But those long, sustainable drives were the reason why Michigan State was able to win, because they didn't win the field position battle for nothing. Jabril Peppers lit up this Michigan State special teams last season and gave Michigan incredible field position. Obviously, a lot of credit goes to the defense holding Michigan to just two touchdowns, given how many times they were put in a bad situation. And so you look at that when they were able to keep Michigan on their side of the field for the start of a drive, for the end of a drive or whatever. Blake O'Neal, he had an incredible game. And so they had to sustain drives and pick Michigan apart slowly in order to flip the field position, which was, I think the only reason that Michigan stayed alive. And so they need to keep those drives sustained. And I don't know if they can do it because, like you said, you don't think that Michigan's front is going to have much of an issue with Michigan State's offensive line. And that's just running the ball, obviously, when you look at pass protection. And you've got a redshirt freshman in there. Don Brown, he's a very aggressive defensive coordinator, the defensive coordinator at Boston College. Last season, he took over for DJ Durkin. Some would say he's even more aggressive than Durkin was last year.
Yeah. I mean, they're going to bring pressure with this, like you said, a redshirt freshman quarterback back there who hasn't really faced an incredible defense yet like U of M has. And you have to cater to Lewerke's lack of knowing the playbook by playing with short passes, opening up the run game, and hopefully getting some play action downfield. I mean, that's the only way I think Michigan State's going to get any type of offense in this game.
Yeah, you look at it, there's not really too many weaknesses on Michigan's defense, especially when you sit there and say something along the lines of, hey, their secondary might be the weakest part of that team. And then you remember they still have Jordan Lewis. ultimately, Jabril Peppers, he's kind of playing a hybrid linebacker, safety type role, but whatever this new position is that they found for him, something along the likes of what Michigan State did under John L. Smith with Sir'Darrion Adams, or you can go back to the glory days, George Webster, for those of you old enough to get that reference. Peppers has excelled at this position. You can talk to any Michigan fan that I have talked to. I sat there and told them Peppers was worse than Arjun Colquhoun last year. Not to say Colquhoun played bad. I thought Colquhoun did an excellent job last season. But the numbers matched up for Colquhoun and Peppers was playing safety. There is no reason that he should have had less tackles than Arjun Colquhoun, who's playing one side of the field. But this year, man, Peppers has been doing quite a bit. I don't know if I'd agree with the Heisman talks, because you have to have like a Monte Teo-type year at linebacker to get that sort of recognition. Obviously, the fact that he can return kicks as well as anybody in the country not named Janarian Grant before Grant went down with an injury at Rutgers. Peppers deserves the accolades that are coming his way this season.
Yeah, I'll admit that I was wrong about that. I said that I still think that Jordan Lewis is the best player on their defense, but Peppers has been really, really good. You can't take away what he's done. I don't know how many tackles he's got for loss, but I know it's an impressive number. He has absolutely
excelled in hybrid
position. I know
up to 2 weeks ago he led the nation.
He is an incredible athlete. There's no question about it. I can totally admit that I was wrong before the season. He has definitely surpassed what I thought he would do this year.
Yeah, and we'll talk a little bit tomorrow about the special teams issues. Right now we're still waiting on William Likely. It doesn't look like we'll be getting him on today, but DeAndre Cobb is scheduled for tomorrow. Those of you remember back in the days where Michigan was dominating the series, which you don't have to go back too far, just about 9 years. you go back, DeAndre Cobb lit up the Wolverines, turned his special teams abilities into a pretty solid NFL career as a kick returner for the Atlanta Falcons. And we'll have him on tomorrow, and he's going to break down the special teams for us because, A, it is a specialty, but B, that was where Michigan State got killed last year by U of M. And that's where they're struggling a little bit this year. I mean, I don't think they've been as bad as last season. You look at some of the situations, the lack of faith in Michael Geiger, inconsistencies of Jake Hartbarger, which I think ultimately Jake Hartbarger is going to have a huge key. We talked about field position and everything like that. Everyone knows he can boom the ball a mile. He can flip the field like nothing, but the problem is you can't outkick your coverage. You can't do that with Jabril Peppers. And I think that's one of the things that Jake Hartbarger is having a hard time adjusting to, is trying to not outkick his coverage, but still get enough leg behind it to flip the field.
Yeah, I agree with that. But I do think special teams have been worse this year than they were last year, because they are this year's team has, I think they've given up more plays at critical junctions of games. I mean, look at the Northwestern game when they gave up a kickoff return for a touchdown.
In terms of crucial moments, the special teams has had their fair share of issues. But I would say that the volume of last season maybe surpasses what we've seen this year. Part of that is just because, well, the Notre Dame one got called back, I guess. But I think the special teams have looked all right outside of the Hartbarger drop and the Northwestern return.
I think that they've had their issues there. You look at the Indiana game where you have the looping penalty that if that doesn't happen, the game is extended. Stupid things that happen at critical moments of games that I think that sets this special teams apart from last year as being much worse.
Yeah, we talked about that a little bit yesterday with Trevin Pendleton, the lack of ability to win close games due to the inexperience and, his words, not mine, lack of leadership. Now, we kind of talked about it, and it wasn't one of those things where it was like, oh, this team just doesn't have leaders on the squad. They do. They just don't have leaders who are used to playing in these situations. Tyler O'Connor, he's the captain. And you can think however you want to think, but you want to tell me his numbers are terrible? Go look at him. Other than that 3-interception game at Wisconsin, he's not played bad. And you can say, oh, well, they're opening the playbook more for him than the work. Well, yeah, because he knows more of the playbook. Well, I mean, you and me, we just talked about that earlier today.
Right.
So there's definitely some things that do need to be worked out as far as the leadership goes. Riley Bullitt, man, he's just having a disappointing season. The injury obviously doesn't help, but you look at the way he played against Maryland, the way he was playing before that, I feel like the linebackers have kind of been – I feel like they've been holding back a little bit, especially when they're supposed to be blitzing.
I agree. Riley Bulla can't – if you're a captain, you cannot pick up 3 personal foul penalties in the first quarter – and get kicked out of the game.
Well, I'm not even just necessarily talking about him. I'm talking about Chris Fry, too. If you're supposed to be blitzing, you're supposed to be blitzing. I've seen him hesitate a couple of times, and I don't know necessarily if it's because he's stunting with a defensive end, and maybe he's got to wait for the end to get around, and he's taking his time, or what the deal is, but the blitz package, it's looked good. It looks good in theory. It's just not being executed well.
I mean, part of it might be that this team just doesn't have that much confidence. I mean, when you watch them, that's one thing way you can look at it. Because
does that go back to the leadership issues though, and the playing time and close games?
I think it does. This team to me has lost a lot of. They just don't seem confident and. I think that's part of the reason why you see turnovers like Monty Medeiros had in a critical moment and, penalties that shouldn't happen. This team just has not had any confidence or swagger since the Notre Dame game, in my opinion.
Yeah, and you turn around, or Indiana, you have the dropped passes. Wisconsin was an Aqib Talib Plaxico Burress type of night. Just shooting yourself in the foot over and over again is what it is. I mean, L.J. Scott's fumble, taking back Hart Parker, dropping the ball on the 5-yard line. O'Connor's interception on the 25. O'Connor's interception on the other 25 when Michigan State's getting ready to score. There's just so many issues with the fact that this team can't put it together, and maybe it's because you have older pieces that aren't playing, and you have younger pieces who are still trying to acclimate themselves to the college game.
Yeah. It's overall, I think it goes back to the leadership point with all these turnovers and at critical moments. And it's just, I mean, there's so much blame to go all around. It's not just one person. It's an entire, it's the entirety of the program, I think.
Yeah. And I mean, this should get better with the experience, Tom. When you talk about this year's senior class, losing a guy like Hicks is going to hurt, obviously, just because if you're willing to put a true freshman cornerback or a true freshman wide receiver at starting corner opposite of Darian Hicks, you've got some issues in the secondary. And then Riley Bolla's absence. I mean, he's pretty much been gone this year anyways. You just with the injuries and how poorly he's played. Brian Allen, he'll be back, but he's not looked that good. Cody Keeler's gone. Well, he's not played that well. Tyler O'Connor's gone. Kind of been planning on. Yeah, and people have kind of been planning on Lewerke or DeWeaver for a month now. And so, look, I think the only spot where you're going to truly, truly, truly miss these seniors is at tight end. And that's just because Matt Sokol doesn't play a lot.
And I think you're gonna have to wind up playing Matt Dotson as a true freshman at tight end next year. I mean, I was talking about that to somebody earlier today, and yeah, tight end is a serious question mark coming into next year.
Other than that, you're not going to miss your seniors. And, I mean, I don't care if a true freshman tight end plays. You're essentially an H-back anyway. That's it. And you're blocking for a running back, the way Mark D'Antonio and company runs their offense. Sokol's going to start. He'll get everything. You line up two tight end set. Big deal. They'll throw him in motion, line him up on the left, and they'll run the ball to the right. I mean, I just broke down Michigan State's playbook for you. But that does it for us today. Be sure to check us out Thursday. Tomorrow, DeAndre Cobb's going to come on. Like I said, he's going to talk about the special teams issues. And then Friday, former Rose Bowl Cotton Bowl champion Tyler Topolinski, he's going to be on. He's got some interesting points that he is rather excited to make. And we'll let him make those on Friday. For Ryan McCumber, I'm Tyler Hayward. This was the iSports MSU Red Cedar Report. Thanks for listening.